Hi. Welcome to Bye Bye Bye. I'm
Brandon.
And this week we are recording on national?
I don't know. I think it's no diet day, guys.
Interstellar.
Yeah. Anyway,
love it.
Loving it. Yeah, it's so that means no diet day.
You're contractually obliged to eat a donut during listening to this episode. I
just had a Butterfinger. Did I eat it already?
Oh, I got those new Reese's, the ones with the more peanut butter and the one with the more chocolate.
Whoa, there's one with more chocolate? Oh, yeah. Speaking of, I saw the most criminal thing the other day in the grocery store. Thin Reese's.
Oh, yeah. That's what? So stupid. I hate
Was it it's a Reese's cup, but it's just thin. Like, basically, they've taken all the peanut butter out of it.
Super thin Oreos that I'm like, no.
The thin Oreos can be fun, I don't know.
See, I'm the person that was already doubling them up before they had the double stuff, and then I double up the double stuff. If they, like, made quadruple stuff, I'd double those suckers up as well.
So what we're saying, basically, is today we're going to talk about, like, how, you know, you should eat shit if you want to eat shit.
Yeah, food is good.
Food is good.
If you want to eat.
Your body needs it.
Yeah, we haven't quite gotten to breatharian yet, so we need to actually put calories into our bodies in order to function. Funny that.
And funnily.
God, I just
read. I was doing a. Go ahead.
I don't know. Sorry, I was going to go off on a tangent about a horror story I read about dieting, which was so gross. But fascinating as well. But yeah, it involved. No, I won't even go into it because it's gross. Yeah. So, do you tell me?
Brandon, about gross things.
No, this is like levels of gross that I don't think we've actually ever reached.
And potentially levels of gross that we shouldn't put out there for other people to. Get ideas about.
Okay,
I'll tell you. We're off air. I'll tell you now and I can cut it. Okay, so this woman has a baby. Wait. Right. Clap marker. This woman has a baby and goes obsessively dieting to try and lose the weight afterwards, and she basically stops feeding her baby, and it's gross, but it ends up in her actually being bulimic, and in order to feed her baby, she throws up into the baby's mouth.
Oh my god.
It's super gross. Yeah. I told you it was gross.
Humans are not birds.
No, we're not.
Like, that doesn't even... Yeah, not made that doesn't even make sense, because, like, breastfeeding is, like, burning a bajillion calories, like...
That's interesting, because it didn't do that for me. I breastfed... But I ate to compensate for the fact that I was always fucking hungry. If I was breastfeeding my kids, and I was I would be chugging, you know, chocolate milk in one hand. From the other.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
I love the fact that you can eat whatever the fuck when you're pregnant. You can eat super badly. Like, you don't, like, everyone says, "Oh, be healthy and eat really well." We'll talk about using. Eating badly as a word, but we can talk about that later. But you can eat whatever the fuck you want, like eat McDonald's every single day, and your baby will be fine, because your baby, if it doesn't get what it needs from what you eat, it'll just take it
exactly.
From your body. It gets what it needs, even if it has to carve it out of your liver, you know. It's not gonna so yeah, your baby's gonna be fine no matter what the fuck you eat. Just you'll feel like shit, but the baby will come out
yeah
great.
I mean they are parasites. I mean,
yes. They are actually parasites.
Yeah, I was doing a it's funny, cuz the National Eating Disorder Association was doing a live tweet this morning, a conversation about dieting and not dieting and ways to counteract dieting culture, and I'm like reblogging and participating and stuff, and then like these thinspo and dieting blogs like start following me, and I'm like, what the fuck, guys?
Oh god.
Like read the room.
Hate follow.
Finspo. Ah, oh, Finspo makes me so angry. I mean, Finspo I don't mind. Because it does actually every now and then just
cross over, because there's a lot of like crossover with Finspo and Finspo.
Yeah, most of the ones absolutely. I see are like chronically crossed over, you know, and like diving into things like the
Most they just say they're Finspo to pretend like it's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't mind seeing exercise posts and stuff on my dash or on Twitter, because it does actually every now and then prompt me to get out of my seat.
Well, I mean, like, exercise is good for you objectively if you're capable of doing it. But that's the thing. Like, I think part of diet culture is this idea that exercise has to hurt, has to
you must suffer and that it's like really good. It's like you must be hurting a lot. That's the only
way. I mean, I understand. I used to be a runner, and I understand that to a point where, like, if you've run 10 miles and you get done, like, you're high as a kite. Like, it feels fucking amazing. But
it does feel great.
But like,
yeah, I mean, there's definitely a line where it goes from like a good exercise hurt to like
I'm
torturing my body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was running, and I severely injured my knee. Well, didn't severely injure it, I just strained it because of overuse. And it's like, okay, I could go at a certain pace and not injure myself and enjoy myself and still get the endorphin rush. Or I could, you know, push myself and injure myself. And so I decided I wanted to push myself and injure myself. Because, you know, there was this, like, there is a sort of, and I think that's, it's exercise and diet closely linked in this. A desire to win at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and especially with dieting, because of the numbers attached to it. You know, I just want to have a smaller number or a bigger number in it.
Well, I mean, the numbers are intrinsic in that type of exercise too. Like, even when you use the machines at a gym, like the machine will tell you, I don't know how it guesses this, but it'll tell you like how many calories you've burned and all of that. And it's misleading for one. And I don't know. When I stopped exercising to lose weight, I started enjoying it a lot more.
Yo. Oh, hell yeah. Yes. I mean, the other thing is, I don't lose weight. I can be as I'm actually quite fit because I walk every single day with
my dog. Well, I mean, you could wrestle a Canadian goose, so.
Yeah. Well, I had to train for that. Like, I spent 6 months before I went to America.
You were in Captain America shape there.
Yes, that's right. Because I watched that's so funny. Because I watched Winter Soldier and decided I needed to be Captain America, which is a lot of how my exercise works. But I'm actually quite fit. But you know, I couldn't run for 10 miles or anything like that. It's just that I'm healthy.
Yeah.
In that regard, because I actually do get off my butt and do some exercise every day. Also helps a fuck ton for depression.
Yes.
Just helps so much. Oh my god, it helps so much. But dieting, I don't lose weight. Even at my fittest, the only thing that ever makes me lose weight is changing my eating, and I can't do that. I can't sustain it, and I hate it. So I don't care.
It makes you cranky. Yeah. It makes you tired. It is so, like, dieting is so counterproductive to the actual goal of dieting. Like, people want to lose weight while they're dieting, but dieting makes you crave things more, and when you cheat, you binge on it, you know, it leads to more overeating and making, like, poorer choices when it comes to food because, you know, like, you're not rational. and I mean that. Like dieting is not... I consider dieting to be disordered eating, to be perfectly honest.
Oh God, yeah. I agree completely. Yes, I think that there's. I mean, following a diet and dieting are different too. I mean,
your general diet, as in like what you eat, I consider that a different thing than dieting.
Yeah, I think if you're eating, I've got a lot of dietitian friends, and they work with people who have food allergies, and they work with people who have diabetes and things like that. That means you actually have to follow a diet in order to stay healthy. But the dieting with the express
restriction
purpose of losing weight,
yeah,
Yeah. Food restrictions for no other reason but you want to get rid of fat is disordered eating and harmful in some ways.
In ways that people don't really think of. And I think, you know, and both of you know the big experience that my family went through over the last few years. And one of the most important things we learned was how dieting changes the trust you have with your body. Like if you listen to your body and you do what is called honoring the cues for hunger and the cues for fullness, you're going to eat the proper amount for you, you know, and your body will stay at a size that it's comfortable at. You'll be healthy. And we don't do that as a society. Like society tells us that it's like a moral victory to ignore being hungry. I mean,
it's like, oh, just drink some water. It's like,
Some water, chew some gum. Like, no, don't follow all these little tricks to make your body think that you're not hungry anymore. I mean, your body's telling you you're hungry for a reason, you know? And part of combating dieting culture is like getting that relationship back with your body. And I don't, it absolutely. Yeah, it takes so much time because we just, we train ourselves not to listen.
Yep. And like, I mean, everything's telling you not to listen.
Yeah.
I mean, other people, just commercials, everything. Like, oh, have this on your cheat day or whatever.
For real. Oh my God. The concept of a cheat day drives me like absolutely batty.
Well, plus, like, a lot of the things are really ridiculous just on a fundamental level. Like, all those commercials for, you know, I would see commercials for these stupid chocolate protein bars that are real bad, which I know because I would buy them because they fill you up.
Yeah.
And I would buy them as a snack for when I was working overnight at the zoo. Because it was something small and easy I could munch on when I was hungry that would keep me full for a little while until it was actual mealtime. But they're real bad. They don't taste like chocolate.
No.
And so there's gonna be these commercials. It's like, oh, I really want cake, but I'm gonna have this instead, and I feel so much better. And it's like, no, you don't. One, that tastes like bullshit. It doesn't taste like anything.
It tastes like bullshit and lies.
Yeah, exactly. Now I just want cake more, and I've also eaten this.
Now I'm going to put cake on top of this protein bar that's sitting in my stomach like a lead balloon, and then later on I'll have constipation.
And that's what people are going to do. Like they're gonna get that protein bar.
I was so happy when I found those protein bars when I found ones that actually tasted good, and I could have something like good to sit in my stomach before it could, you know, eat.
Yeah, they're good to have. I actually like a lot of the meal replacement bars. Just for this,
yeah, there's some really good ones.
They're convenient, like to keep in your car, keep in your purse, and in case you're out somewhere.
And again, to eat when you're hungry and not, you know, as an actual meal replacement.
Yeah, not as an actual meal replacement. And that, but that's what happens. Yeah. People, they're like, oh, this should satiate your craving for cake, and then you eat this bar, and you're like, no, I still fucking want cake. So then you're gonna eat cake on top of the protein bar anyway, and
or you're just gonna starve. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That happened so early. Like, I remember very distinctly when I was a teenager, that's right around when Special K started being like, eat this cereal for two meals and
yes!
Wait. And like, God. You know, I'm a teenage girl, so I'm like, I'll do it.
I tried it.
Because I want to lose weight. Yeah, and it's just like, I'm so starving all the time. This is
And that's the thing. Have you guys dieted? Like, I've dieted. I've actively,
I've dieted.
Through my life, I've tried different diets. Like, I tried the Slim Fast thing and the eat two bowls of Special K a day thing. And
that was the closest I came to an actual diet. My diet's usually just for skipping meals.
Yeah, basically.
Which should show you what, you know, the fucking world is telling you to do. It's like, well, I will be better off if I just don't eat two of the three meals a day.
Oh, God. No, I've never followed a diet, ever.
I'm so proud of you.
it's just because I'm lazy. It's not a moral victory or anything like that. I just couldn't be fucked. But my mum, has always been overweight. She was chronically overweight for a long time, and she had I mean, oh, fuck, this sounds awful. It sounds like I'm making excuses, but she had extremely bad arthritis, so she's never been able to exercise. But she's always been overweight, and so she's done, over the course of me living with her, I've followed diets with her because she was cooking.
Yeah.
So she would do Weight Watchers and stuff like that, and I would just eat what she served. So it wasn't such a case of me choosing to follow the diet. Because, you know, I'd go out after school afterwards and eat, like, a huge bowl of hot chips every afternoon because I was starving to death. But yeah, I've never done it myself deliberately. I've restricted things in that, you know, I've switched from, you know, full cream milk to skim milk. I've done a few other things, like I made an effort to cook things without.
Yeah, I mean, luckily more often when I'm an adult, it's been more trying to change how I eat.
Yeah,
not just not eating. Yeah. Although depression also, I mean, that's how fucked up this all is. Because there's definitely, like, I definitely get the, I'm so depressed, eating is too much trouble for me.
Yeah.
And then there's always that part of my brain that's like, well, then maybe you'll lose weight and that won't be so bad. And I'm always like, shut up, fucking, no.
Oh God, when I had the flu 2 weeks ago, that went through my head too. I was like, well, if I keep throwing up everything. Yeah.
And I'm so mad that that's something that goes through my brain, because, like...
Yeah, that is actually something I wouldn't mind talking about, because we had, when you have kids, they always end up getting stomach infections, and you always end up getting them, because they throw up all over you. Because that's just the thing they do. So we had, like, two bouts of really, really bad, what's it called when you get the stomach? Anyway, stomach viruses. And both myself and my husband lost 5 kilograms in 1 week, because we literally couldn't eat anything. You couldn't eat a single thing for a whole week. And yeah, you come out the other end, and people say, oh, you look great. What have you been doing? I was like, I've been fucking puking my guts out 24/7 for a week, and I feel terrible. Shut up. Except that there is that little voice in the back of your head saying, oh, I do look a bit better. Maybe I should get sick again. And that just tells you
how fucked up it is. It's a really poisonous train of thought to go down. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think, like, part of combating diet culture is you have to change the entire conversation you have about food. And, like, even just a few minutes ago, like, we were talking about making choices to, like, do things like switch to skim milk, or, you know, like, maybe you cook with vegetable oil instead of butter or something. And like some of the workshops and classes we had to go to talked about paying attention to the food choices we make because of social programming, and food choices we make because of general preference. And so through part of that exercise, we had to evaluate the different things that we use in our house. Like, do I really like skim milk, or do I just drink skim milk because it's lower fat? You know, and so we took some time, revisited that. We changed up milk. Turns out I like whole milk, and I enjoy drinking it. So as long as I'm not drinking, like, a gallon a day, I'm probably okay, you know?
Yeah.
I don't drink skim milk because I don't like skim milk, but I like light milk, because I find full cream milk too oily.
Yeah, I drink milk excessively, I don't like it. And I actually like skim, but that's just because I slowly went down. And now if I get up to, like, whole, it's too creamy and thick for me.
Oh, but also you guys have weird, okay, we can segue into something that might be a little bit more funny. You guys have weird milk over there. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that. Actually, I was going to say that, because, like, the way you describe milk and the way we describe milk is completely different. Because I think when you talk about full fat milk, I think you're talking about, like, what we consider whipping cream.
Yeah.
No. No, because full milk is just, no, I know, no. In your fridge when I was in Hawaii, you had proper milk in your fridge when I was in Hawaii when you were there. But the thing that always confuses me is half and half and stuff, like when you go and get a coffee, because you have creamer, which is different to milk.
Oh, yeah, it's something.
Creamer doesn't
exist. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
It's cream. It's literally cream. It's cream with sugar in it.
Yeah.
That's as far as I can tell. But yeah, we don't have creamer, but I think that the skim milk for you guys is, like, we have three types of milk pretty much here, which is full fat milk, light milk, and skim milk. And the full fat milk is regular milk. Light milk's got a little bit of fat in it, and the skim milk's got no fat in it whatsoever.
Yeah, I think.
So it just tastes like white.
Yeah, we've got
white water.
Whole 2%, 1%.
And I think those are pretty close to the same thing. Yeah. I can do 2% if I have to.
I grew up on 2%, so that's what I was used to. And then college, I think they only had whole or skim. So then I switched to skim because I drink too much milk. If I drink a giant glass of whole milk, I feel like I'm going to die. Because
she does drink a lot of milk.
See, that's the other thing. I can't drink
obnoxious amounts of milk. So I actually like skim. It's actually, it is a preference thing. But I know I could switch back. And I would have to slowly grade myself back upward.
Well, I was convinced for years, the entire time I was in, I was convinced for years that I didn't like milk. And that I would only eat it on cereal and nothing else. I wouldn't drink it. I wouldn't put it in coffee or anything like that. And turns out that I like whole milk. It's just...
Oh, yeah. It's a completely different experience.
We went to Korea where they don't...
It's much creamier and...
They have, unpasteurized whole milk. And I was like, oh, this is fucking amazing. Just hook me up to the goddamn cow and let me go to town.
Yeah, that actually makes me feel a bit ill. The idea of drinking any milk with, I'll drink it in coffee. That's the only time. I only recently discovered that we were talking about this the other day, that I actually don't like tea with milk in it or sugar. But I also don't like black tea either. The only tea I like is herbal tea. And it's so funny because Australia is only a couple of steps behind England in its obsession with tea. We love it. We have a cup of tea. You want a cup of tea? You want a cup of tea? Come over for a cup of tea. I'll give you a cup of tea. And and especially white Australia, sort of my race, my class, white middle class Australia is obsessed with tea. And so I drank it for years and years and years and years and years. I drank it with two sugars and milk, and that was because that was just how you drank tea. And I stopped when I got to my own house and had control over what I bought. I stopped drinking tea altogether because I didn't like it. And then I discovered about a year ago that I actually really like it black with no sugar in it. So there you go.
I
can barely drink coffee unless it's half garbage. Unless it's half cream and sugars, then I can drink it when it's not coffee anymore.
Yeah.
But tea, straight either. I mean, I'll drink pretty much any type of tea. I like white tea, I like green tea, I like black tea, I like herbal tea. I love tea. It's so good.
I
only drink it in winter.
Yeah, too. I like it with a little honey in it, or some other sweetener because I like the no matter what type of tea I drink, white, black, green, whatever. I like the ones that have the fruitier essences in them. They've got blood orange peel and shit, and you can't really taste that well without sweetening it. You have to sweeten.
Yeah, the taste. I know what you mean by that.
You have to sweeten it to bring it out a little bit.
Yeah, I drink chamomile and peppermint and ginger. I love ginger tea too. That's the best. But I don't put, as you said, I used to put honey in it as well because of that. But honey is weird for me. Honey also leaves a weird taste in the back of my mouth that I don't like.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy about honey, although I do like it in tea. Usually when my throat hurts, which is relevant to some people, right?
Yeah, it works.
a little bit of lemon and some honey, it really works.
Yeah. I do like lemon and honey in my black tea, but it's because I'm a weird American, I guess. I don't know.
Yes. But you guys also drink tea cold, which we only discovered.
Oh, iced tea is so good.
Oh, it's so good.
In the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a different thing, really, but it's so good.
Yeah, iced tea is so good. I've got some in front of me right now. Actually, I've got Arnold Palmer in front of me right now, actually. Not the man. I think he's dead. But, the iced tea lemonade mix.
Yeah. Bringing back around. I would say
to diet.
I think one important thing about realizing what are your actual preferences and what are cultural. I think that helps if you want to make an actual healthy dietary switch, because then you're still eating food you like.
Yeah.
And you're still eating food and you're not forcing yourself to eat something because it's healthy.
Yeah.
Quote unquote or whatever.
It's called intuitive eating.
I don't think you should ever eat something you don't like. I mean, sorry, I'm coughing too now. I've caught your cold over the wires, friend. I don't think you should ever eat. You should never put anything in your mouth that you don't want to eat.
Don't put it in your mouth.
don't you put it in your mouth. If you don't want to eat it, then don't put it in your mouth. And yes, I will agree with that. In sex, sometimes you have exceptions.
I'm a terribly picky eater. Like I have so many texture issues and flavor issues and stuff that like I as soon as I became an adult, I stopped eating anything I didn't want to eat. Because I mean, we grew up rather poor. And when you have food on the plate, you eat food on the plate.
You gotta eat what you gotta eat. Yeah. So that you can actually eat.
And I was taught to clean my plate every meal. Yep. You know, like whatever was on your plate, you clean it off. But I mean, like we ate things like fish liver because that's what we ran a fishery and that's what we had. And I will never put liver in my mouth ever again. Never. and I just don't.
Yeah, my mum.
Go ahead.
My mum grew up at the tail end of the Depression, and if you left food on the plate, you were basically committing the worst sin imaginable.
Yep.
So she would always clean her plate, even if she didn't like it very much. And she actually says that part of the reason she thinks that part of the reason why she's overweight is because she was forced to always finish what was on her plate, and she just does it by habit.
Yep.
And so even when she's not hungry, she keeps eating. And I think that's something that's really, really important. As a parent, I have so many struggles with my kids. They are really difficult to feed. And my mother-in-law says, you know, like, as long as there's food in the house, they won't starve. Yep. But Tom just recently, my son recently went to the doctor, and he's underweight for his height.
Right.
And he won't eat anything that I give him. We have to sort of have him at the table and force him to eat a couple of bites. Not force feed him, but, you know, he just doesn't want to eat ever. And it's just like, I don't know. It's hard.
It is hard. It's hard to balance that without teaching them forcefully to eat things, you know? Exactly. And I agree with your mom that I think part of the reason that I've struggled with my weight for so long is because I was raised to always clean my plate. You know, like you just didn't.
It's still hard for me. Like, what did we eat? I think we were eating like chips or something out somewhere. And I was like, I'm so full. And Trevor was like, you could just leave them. I was like, but we've barely touched it. I can't just not eat this.
It took a long time to teach myself to not compulsively finish what's on my plate, you know?
I have a big problem with portion sizes in America, specifically.
We do too.
Yeah, just went out there. When we went out for a couple of meals, and we could easily just have eaten one meal between four with the kids, and it's I don't know what the obsession is with piling plates so full of food that you can't.
Well,
eat.
I think
I don't.
I think
it.
Part of it is that I really honestly don't think that when you go to a restaurant in America and you order a meal, I don't think the meal is intended to be a single meal for a single person in a single sitting. Like I really think that a lot of them are meant to be shared, or with the intention of I'm going to take this home and eat it for lunch tomorrow.
Oh yeah, to go boxes are my favorite fucking thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean that's something that's interesting too. But I suppose we have like if we have a restaurant that's for sharing stuff, then it says it actually says on the menu our plates are designed to share. So and they bring them out, they stick them in the middle of the plate. They don't give it to you individually. They stick it in the middle of the table, and you have a plate to put it on, and it's expected that you share stuff. But if it's not stated in a restaurant that it's a share place, then they just give you an individual meal and you eat what's on the plate. So I think that's probably just a cultural thing. Also, you call entrees is the wrong word.
Yeah.
That's the bit you have before the meal. The main meal is called the main course. Entree is the one you have before. Sorry, I had to point that out. You're wrong.
Part of it is also just, I mean, part of it I think is definitely, especially with, like, you get a lot of bigger food with fast food, and it's like, okay, for if you're poor, then you want a giant meal because you care more about being full than having a good normal size meal.
Yeah, it's better to be full than hungry when you aren't when you have food insecurity.
Yeah, which is definitely highlighted by the fancier the place I go to, the smaller the portion size is.
Oh yeah.
Yes, that happens here too, yeah.
So I think it's definitely partly, yeah, just feeding the masses as much food as humanly possible.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that use McDonald's as an example. Like the stuff we get from McDonald's, the meals we get from McDonald's here, like a quarter pound a meal isn't actually it's a huge amount of meat.
Yeah.
But it's not a huge amount of food. Does that make sense? Like even if you get a larger one, it's not actually a huge amount of food, and it doesn't. And obviously, because it's McDonald's, you finish it, you feel miserable anyway because it's disgusting. but it's not a huge amount of food, and I don't know if you're poor. The fast food is just, it's easier on so many levels because you don't have to cook it. You can just get it, you eat it straight away. And time is related to money as well. And so the whole idea of the fact that, but it's also not bad. It's not bad food. We're talking about putting moral weight on certain types of food. If you need to eat something and the only place you can get food is McDonald's, fucking get a burger. Get a burger, eat it, enjoy it. Let it give you some nutrients. It has got a huge amount of nutrients in it, but it's got more than nothing. So you should eat
it. And I mean, and that's another like way that we talk about food. Like you have to get away from the idea of good food and bad food, and this is like there's no such thing as empty calories. Like that's just not a thing that's made up by the diet culture. Like calories are calories. You need calories.
Your body's
going to
do something with it.
Your body's going to do something with it. And yes, not all calories burn equally, but I mean, you still need them. You know, I don't even know. Excuse me. You know, and we talk about things like that. Like this is just empty calories or I don't know. Your brain needs sugar.
Yeah. It's like, it's like somehow you need to make, you need to make your food work. Like it feels like it feels like, I don't know, like a valley girl. A burger is a valley girl, and a piece of brown bread is somehow an intellectual.
Right.
Doing it. And so now I'm going to forever think of a piece of brown bread as that guy in your MFA. Spouting bullshit about women's breasts and smoking a cigarette. I don't want to eat you now. I give me a fucking burger.
Well, I had something to add and now I can't remember. Brown bread is the guy in your MFA. I'm never going to forget that. I mean, and it goes both ways. Like, not only should you not restrict, you shouldn't eat overeat. Overeating is just as bad. Like, I don't think anybody that is in a position to combat diet culture would say it's just about being able to stuff whatever I want in my face. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's the point of combating diet culture is to listen to your body, you know? And so if you slow down eating and you stop about halfway, give yourself a couple minutes to think about it, you know, let your brain catch up with your stomach, you know, and it's not, that's not dieting. That's like honoring your hunger and your fullness.
I mean, we were talking about feeling like you had to clear the plate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not any good either. You shouldn't feel like you're forced to eat.
Yep.
Just for the sake of like eating and not because you feel like you need it in any way.
Yeah. And we've made meals such a almost like a chore that you have to do. Like, we gotta get through dinner now.
Yeah, that shits me too. That annoys me too, because I think that one of the nicest things in the world. One of the nicest things in the world is sharing a meal with someone. It's just so bloody lovely to sit down and talk and eat, and like we're lazy and we very rarely we probably eat three meals at the table a week most of the time. We eat all of our meals at the table, but we don't actually sit down and talk while we're doing it. It's just like and then run. But it's just it's really sweet and nice to sit down across from the kids and, you know, cry because they're not eating anything any of the things that I've cooked them, but you know, I really enjoy it. And we shouldn't be ashamed of eating, and we shouldn't be obsessed with eating. Like it is an obsession. We're so fucking
we're obsessed with what you eat and how you eat and when you eat, and like none of that is true.
Yeah, and it just becomes exhausting and then you don't enjoy what you're doing. Yep. And you should be.
And our personal experiences in our family, like, change the way that we do meals, you know, like, and now we take a couple nights a week as a family to eat in front of the TV. We'll put in, we pick a show and we'll watch a couple episodes a week. Like, we'll get takeout and sit down in the living room and watch it together, you know, and we consider that some family time, but we also enjoy our meals at the table where we take the focus off of eating. The focus is more on the conversation that we're having with each other, you know, and if you have the resources and ability to be able to sit down as a family, and I know that not everybody does, you know, it's good to sit down with another person and make mealtime not about the meal, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my family is just, we're obsessed with going out for meals. Like, there's no one thing that's been difficult with living with Murray, actually, because he's like, his family have a weird relationship with food. his dad worked in an abattoir. They got steak pretty much for every meal because he got cheap meat. But yeah, and his mum hates cooking with a passion, like absolutely detests it, hates doing it, would rather do anything but cook, pretty much. Whereas our family is exactly the opposite. Like we love cooking, we love talking during, we love eating around the table and talking to each other. We love being in the kitchen with each other while we cook. Like, that's one of the
things. I love that.
I grew up with my mum and my sister and I were all in, and even when my dad was around as well, because he's actually also quite a good cook. We would sit in the kitchen while mum cooked, and chat to her while she cooked. So that was how we talked about learning to cook, and that's the main way I learned to cook. But yeah, coming into Murray's family, and then we would go out. I said, let's go out for dinner, or go out for lunch when we first started dating, and we'd go out, sit down, order, eat, and then leave immediately. Yeah. And there was no sort of lingering over the meal. There was no chatting about it. It was just a function. You went out, you ate, and you didn't have to cook it. So that's great.
Yeah. And that's my favorite part, though. Like, I love the whole process. One of my favorite things is to have your family come into the kitchen and have, like you said, like just sit and chit chat back and forth. Or, you know, I mean, my husband's really good about helping cook meals if I ask him to. But yep. Like.
That's a whole other episode.
but I love creating the meal together and enjoying the meal together. And I really hate the cleaning up after. And when baby Bi moves out, I'm going to have to suck that up again. But hopefully by then we'll...
Is she doing the cleanup for you now?
Yeah, she loves doing dishes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I need to teach mine to do it, obviously.
She kind of took it upon herself to make it her chore, and I mean, I'm not gonna stop her. Yeah. Like, my favorite verb is soak.
I'll just leave it to soak for the night. Yeah, I've got a point, which we did
3 days later. There's like a colony in it.
Oh god, yeah. Murray hates it because I whenever I clean up, what I do when I'm cooking is I put everything in the sink to get it out of the way, so I've got more bench space to do stuff. And he hates that because he has to pull everything out of the sink to rinse it off to put it in the dishwasher. Like, just put the water on and rinse it. Well, like, anyway, we have the huge domestic arguments about how to clean up. But, you know, if he's doing it, I'm not going to argue too much. He just doesn't do it quite enough. he sort of goes through periods where he'll do it every time I cook. And he does. He cooks probably once a week, but that's just because he doesn't get home until 6. So there's no point in him cooking because we wouldn't eat until 8. But yeah, he does. He'll cook once a week or so and leave a big mess for me to clean up.
Which is great. And I know not everybody has the ability to cook at home and the time to do it and stuff. You know, like I'm completely aware that the three of us are rather privileged in that sense. And, you know, I know
it's something you can do. It's definitely recommended.
But even if you eat takeout and stuff, or if you're going out to restaurants, I mean, you can still do that. You can still, like, make the whole thing not about the food and make it about the time that you're together, you know.
I mean, I can't decide if it's because I'm a Midwesterner or because of, like, how me and all my friends function. But, yeah, that's just – I think it's never been about the food.
Yeah.
some good joke posts online about the like Midwestern goodbye where it takes like
yes!
at the door.
Everybody's standing at the door goodbye. For hours, like, oh, and blah, yeah. blah, blah. Yeah.
And we definitely take that on to like going out to eat. We'll go out to eat and then just sit at the table, talk. We're like, all right, time to go. And then like talk for an hour. And then I start feeling bad for the waitresses and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Or if you're like me and you grew up with my grandparents, like part of the goodbye process at the door is them bringing you the leftovers. Oh, here, take some of this home. And you're like, no, it's fine.
Oh man, I love potlucks.
Oh, I love potlucks.
Potlucks are so fun.
Potlucks are the best. I've only just started rediscovering them, like, because I'm old now, and so potlucks are sort of a thing. When you're like 20, you can't do potlucks, can you? Like, too young, and like, how about we have a potluck?
Oh, see, that's
and it's like,
what
no,
I did on the most because yeah. all of us had money, like when we were in college, so we'd all like, okay, I'll make whatever. I'll bring chips.
Yeah, that we did that too.
Oh well, you know,
and
it's
we
like
just
a,
brought
booze.
I don't.
It's a big college thing here.
Protestant
I mean,
churches
we also
do
bring booze.
Protestant churches do potlucks a lot, like a lot. Yeah. You know, it's like it's like a monthly thing, and so I did more potlucks when I was going to a Protestant church than any other time in my life. But like potlucks.
Yeah, well, we have a potluck Christmas basically every year. Someone brings a dish.
Yeah,
Christmas. Me and my friends did it a lot when we got together. Like, even if it was, you know, a party and other people were bringing drinks or whatever, it was also like, I'll bring snacks, I'll bring whatever.
Yeah, when we were all little baby sailors and, you know, like living together en masse, we would do potluck meals together for like big occasions. Like if we couldn't go home for Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, we would get
awesome.
Together at someone's place, you know, like someone had a house, you know, if you didn't live in the barracks, you were just blessed with hosting. And
what's that casserole we had, the one with the potato gems on top?
What's that?
The casserole we had at that American cafe.
Tater tot casserole.
With the potato gems.
Yes. Tater tot casserole.
Yes. I need to get a recipe for that.
Yeah, there's the thing. If you don't
have one.
Casseroles are your friend. If you don't have money but you've got enough friends,
yeah.
Potlucks are your friend.
Yeah. I have a recipe. I'll give it to you after the show.
Cool. Awesome.
In fact, we can put it on the Patreon and anybody who, you know, like wants to be a patron can have my...
Yes.
Tater tot casserole.
Actually, you know what? We'll do that. Actually, we should share some recipes for all of you people who are going to be practicing intuitive eating after listening
exactly.
to this episode, because we are so convincing. We'll put up a few recipes. You can write in and ask us for recipes, like the things that I love to cook the most. Like I do a really banging pesto rice pilaf with bacon and beans, and it's bloody lovely. And a couple other things.
Yeah, people are really not taking advantage of our wealth of knowledge. Like,
I know. We've got
yes.
so much stupid.
Like, ask us for recipes. I can
random ass shit.
Yeah, I can make a pesto out of anything. What do you got? I mean, that would even be an acceptable question thing. Like, send us, like, here's three ingredients in my refrigerator. What am I going to do? You know?
Okay, well. Next episode, just for people who are listening, the next episode we're going to be talking about spoilers because of a few big things that are happening. But we could, the episode after, we could definitely make it into a cooking
like a
episode.
Chopped.
So, chopped, yes. We can cook a meal. We should cook a meal before we start and then eat it online, because that'll sound really good.
I'll make something good and crunchy.
That'll be fantastic. I'll make nachos. We'll do a baby buy.
I'll make soup. I'll make pea and ham soup.
I would cut myself off the call and leave because I can't stand the sound of eating.
Yeah, baby buy is really into
I hate it.
What is that called? ASMR?
Yeah, fucking ASMR.
Yeah, she's really into those. Like we could do an ASMR episode, which is basically just all of us chomping at our microphones.
Yeah. We're talking
very quietly.
God, there's this fucking ASMR beer commercial, and it drives me bonkers. I think
oh,
for
no.
Corona or some bullshit, and like it's like tapping the glass, blowing on the bottle,
oh,
I'm like
God.
Whispering about this beer, and I'm like, stop it!
I hate it.
You don't like ASMR? I actually really like ASMR.
I get nothing out of it. Like, I enjoy it.
It's funny.
I enjoy. It used to be like. sleeping noises or whatever. So I like rain sounds and like nature sounds. I get nothing out of like whispering and crinkling papers and
eating. It's the eating ones that kill me. Like, oh, I want to kick a kitten every time.
Yeah, I hate it so much. It makes me physically just furious.
So I actually have sought out ASMR to go to sleep. Some of them are really fucking weird. Like there's ones where you get these like 20-year-old women who do your makeup for you.
Yeah. And there really are some really weird wish ones. I had been on the like top of this curve because I would have. I get nothing out of it, but fuck if I wouldn't for a lot of money be like, okay.
I don't know if you can be quiet enough for it.
Fucking camera.
I not to derail us from our derailment. Getting back to the topic, we were talking about potlucks and stuff, and I think diet culture makes potlucks and that kind of meal situation very hostile.
Yeah, exactly.
It does, yeah, because if you're taking a pot, like, it's like, oh, does it have gluten in it? Does it have this in it? Does it, I'm like, I can't eat this, and this. Like, so you come into the potluck and you've got this massive thing of food, and this is and you put it down and say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't have that.
Exactly.
Fuck you. I put a heap of...
You've got people with, like, legitimate, they can't have whatever.
Yeah, food allergies, sure gluten intolerance.
Make sure to bring stuff that's safe for them
religious
to eat. But, like, not... It's ridiculous, yeah, when everyone's on some sort of, like, it's like, well, I'll have, like, one little sliver of whatever you brought.
Yeah, and then there's always the group of people at the end of the table where all, because, you know, all the desserts go at the end of the table, and there's always the people at the very end going, oh, I would love to have some of that pie, but, you know, and it's like, just have the fucking pie!
Like, two...
You're out to eat, like, and that's the other thing, too, if you're going out to eat.
Yes.
If the purpose of the gathering is food, then you're being rude as fuck if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's like a friend thing, like a potluck or whatever, and you're all getting together and you're bringing food, and this is food that someone made, and
group things like that. I mean, not just like are hostile for diets, but they're kind of a battlefield for people recovering from eating disorders, and it's like something on the road to recovery is what they call choosing friends over food. When you decide to do a social event that happens to involve eating, and you decide to go to the social event and you eat at the social event with your friends because you would rather spend time with them than worry about starving yourself. And so potlucks are good and bad, but they're good learning tools, and diets make them bad, and they are a great opportunity, I think, because you get to pick your own food and you're there with, hopefully, friends. I mean, hopefully.
Yes.
I think it's a great, I loved it in college and my early 20s and stuff, just because it was an easy way to have a lot of food without spending a lot of money and getting to see your friends and everything.
And everybody, like, has that one dish they make that everybody loves.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And then you get all of that brought together.
Yeah.
That's so good. Yes.
I think that's my favorite part.
Like, so back to food that we, like, for potlucks.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's two things I take to potlucks. The one thing is that pilaf that I just mentioned, which is really bloody lovely. The other thing I do is creamed potatoes. Mm. Now, do you guys know what the creamed potatoes are? Potato bake, basically. So what you do is you get what would you guys call a potato bake? What would you put in a potato bake?
Oh, potato bake? Okay. Depends on the kind. I would make like scalloped potatoes with like cheese and ham and milk, or not ham, even just cheese, and slice them up and bake them in the oven. If I say funeral potatoes, Claire, do you know what those are?
Yeah.
I don't really
know how to, like,
please explain. Please explain. I need to know.
I don't really know how to explain. Like, oh, I guess I could Google it. Oh my god, there's a computer in front of me. I can Google things. Funeral potatoes.
Oh my god, it comes up as soon as you type funeral, at least for me.
Yeah, as soon as I got to the O in potatoes, I got it.
It can sense your Midwesternness.
Yep. Yeah, here
okay,
we
let
go.
Me, let me do the same thing since we're all Googling.
Oh, okay. It's exactly what I thought it was. It's like cheesy hash browns. Yeah. It's like hash browns and,
oh, hell.
And cheese.
Yeah,
and,
they look amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, so good. In the Midwest, I think we call it hot dish, but I've found that like almost everywhere else.
The Midwest is pretty much just all sorts of casseroles.
Yeah.
Throw it in a casserole dish.
What's the thing?
If you have to go to a potluck, you can mix something with a can of cream of something soup and take it. Like, that's how it goes.
Wow. Yeah, no, my potatoes are just, it's not, we don't put any anything else. It's just the scalloped potatoes, and you put them in the baking dish and you salt each layer. And you build it up to you've got like a cake of potatoes, and then you just pour a whole chunk of cream in.
Yeah,
and then sprinkle the top with nutmeg, and then stick it in the oven for.
I do that too. We call that's actual scalloped potatoes, and I think the other one is au gratin when you add cheese.
Yeah,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, with
I like to cook the or warm the cream or milk or whatever you're using beforehand with a bunch of herbs in it, and then filter it out. So then you've got like that nice infused milk. I get fancy.
yeah. Very like when you post the pictures of the meals that you cook, I always go, "Oh fuck, I've got to up my game."
I feel so lazy.
You know, Baby Buy's dietitian said the same thing to me. Like she was like, "You're always making all these fancy meals." I'm like, "I'm not making what? What is a fancy meal? Apparently, if it has multiple parts."
Yep.
If it has more than one spice.
Have some sort of vegetables, season them. Some sort of carb side, like rice or mashed potatoes or something, and then meat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just putting together like a protein and a vegetable and a starch, and you know, there's usually a salad that goes with it. But I don't know, like everybody, I made a salad out of watermelon.
Yeah, but they're always like they're like actual things. Like I couldn't be like this is actual chicken. Things. It'd be like no, this is just some chicken breast that I. Like random seasoning on.
Okay, some of that is just bullshit. I just make stuff up. I'm like, oh, I roasted this pork loin and blah 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 and these blanched green beans or whatever, you know. But I made it was a simple salad. It was just cubed watermelon with a little chili powder and some lime juice, and my husband was like, oh, look at that, mom made a fancy salad tonight. And I'm like, what the fuck, that's not fancy. And Baby Buy standing in the living room right now going, it was so good, we're gonna have it again tonight. So
awesome.
Yeah. See, I'm usually the one that brings some sort of baked goods like cookies or cake or
I have two potluck go-tos, poke cake and
poke cake's so good.
Yeah, and this broccoli slaw that
What's poke cake?
Okay. So
it's kind of what it sounds like. You literally poke the cake.
You bake a box cake or any cake, I guess, and you put it in a sheet pan, and then you poke holes in it, and from there it's like anybody's guess.
Whatever you want. Like sometimes it's
pudding.
Like
sometimes it's chocolate, soaks in.
Most commonly,
it's Jello. So you make the Jello and you pour it over the cake, and then you let the cake set overnight, and then you like put whipped cream or something on the top of it. It's really good. Like the cake is amazingly moist. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a way to make it like super, super moist.
Yeah. I've made graveyard dirt cakes in a similar fashion, but you use
Okay. Yeah. I need to know what that is.
but you put chocolate pudding or chocolate fudge sauce in the little poked holes instead. And then you crush up Oreo cookies and put it on top.
Yeah, so it looks like dirt.
And then you put little gummy worms.
Yeah,
in
gummy
it.
Worms.
So
it's
the gummy
out of the dirt.
You really. It's the best Halloween potluck thing because you can really just go all out. I mean, how gory do you want to get? Put red Jello in there. I don't care. Yeah.
Sounds
but
fantastic.
I also make this broccoli slaw that uses crunchy ramen noodles.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, you know what? People don't put enough crunchy stuff in salads. Especially these days because everyone wants to do salads with rocket. Which fuck rocket. I mean, fuck it. It's gross. I hate it. Rocket. You know what rocket is? Okay. Rocket and like back when I was a kid. All right, salads were iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
Right. Crunchy lettuce. It was the only lettuce. It was the only lettuce you could get in the shops. Was crunchy lettuce, I suppose. So rocket arugula. You would.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I know what arugula is.
Oh, arugula is a great. I make arugula. A great arugula salad.
It's nice, but it's nice, but like you don't want a salad that's just.
Oh yeah,
arugula.
It definitely needs
it's
stuff.
Like,
with it.
Yeah, you need other stuff in there, like
I swear,
and spinach, like spinach leaves are a big thing too now for salads instead of crunchy lettuce. So you're not getting any crunchiness in the salad anymore.
Yeah,
you need
to
put
more
crunch. You need to put like crushed up noodles or nuts. In salad.
Yeah, my arugula salad is satisfying.
Really good,
thank you.
Has like pistachios and stuff in it. So good.
Oh, pistachios. Oh yes. Yeah. So you put cheese and nuts and crunchy things in your salad, because fuck just having vegetables.
Well, mine is arugula and some lemon zest and cracked pepper and Parmesan cheese, and you don't really measure it, you just kind of like put it into taste, and a little bit of olive oil, and you mix it all up, and the lemon juice and all of that. So I don't know.
One of the things that the our potential sponsor HelloFresh does with salads is gives you croutons, like makes you make croutons to put in salads.
One thing our other potential sponsor, like, Taco Bell, does is they put Fritos or pieces of tortillas.
Is that not the best? Oh my god, there is nothing I love more than a shitty burrito, no beans, with like Fritos inside it.
God, I love their Frito burrito with like all their gross nacho cheese and meat and Fritos, and it got that good crunch.
Oh, it's got the great crunch. It's on the fucking dollar menu too. Like that's it's like they're like, get an appetizer or a snack. I'm like, fuck you, I want five of those. And they're just like whatever their beef slurry is this week, and rice and fucking Fritos.
That's so good.
I think I heard a rumor. Okay, now we're back onto Taco Bell. We're very on brand this week. It's great. I actually heard a rumor there was a Taco Bell in Sydney.
What?
Someone said there was one in Sydney, and I am actually very fucking tempted to drive out there. I think it's out in the west.
Ooh.
Taco Bell to open in New South Wales in 2019.
Ooh.
Okay.
You should go on a little adventure and record yourself. We'll
take some pictures and
I will. I'll take my little portable.
Yeah, take your portable one.
Here we go. No, so I'm reading it.
Here you go, guys. I'm going down the street here, and look at this. It's a drive-thru. Say hi.
Get like a GoPro. So they can experience eating it with you.
Okay, so I've got an article here. Oh my god, like it opened its first Taco Bell in Annerley in Brisbane, which is the one that's right near my friend's house, in November last year.
Wow.
And has since opened two more outlets in the Queensland capital.
It's starting
Well, depression must have come to Australia.
Australia,
it's not sunny,
like,
enough anymore.
We need Taco Bell.
Yeah, you know, though, like, I wonder if Taco Bell is like McDonald's, where you go to different countries and it's different. Or, like, even in the States, like, if you go to a different state.
I would be so mad, because I always get so jealous when there's places that have something that sounds really good and I can't get.
Yeah, like, here we have taro or halpia pie, and every now and then we get a McTerry sandwich, you know, with teriyaki on it. It's very, everybody goes shit for it here. But, like up in Maine, they have lobster rolls. Now I want to know what an Australian Taco Bell has.
Well, it doesn't have it. Oh, I've got a menu here for the Queensland one. It's not open in New South Wales yet, but I have. Okay, so the menu on the Taco Bell Australia website, which is actually quite a good website, they have Crunchwrap Supreme.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I love those.
Grilled soft burrito. Double Taco Supreme, cheesy goodies.
Oh, that's the shit right there.
California.
That's got the good soft and crunch.
Yeah, it's a flatbread.
Oh my god, yeah, it's a hard taco with a soft.
It's
taco.
It's a flatbread and cheese, and then a hard taco inside.
Yeah, it's not even a soft taco. Yeah, it's not a soft taco on the side. It's like a
okay.
It's like
I'm flatbread. So fucking
so it's so soft and pillowy outside, the crunchy inner taco, and it's got like nacho, like spicy nacho sauce in between those.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like this, pepper jack cheese sauce. Like, if you could make fake cheese better.
Oh, yeah. Happy no diet day, guys.
The crunch wrap can be good. Sometimes it gets a little soggy, so it doesn't have that good crunch. But that is a soft taco wrapped around.
None of this has a shelf life beyond, like, the initial hot period. except like, plain soft tacos.
Yeah, plain soft tacos, those are the only ones I'll eat, like, as a leftover, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna taste crappy the next time.
So that those were all that. Then we've got California burrito and quesadilla. Quesadilla. However you pronounce that. Then we've got specialties.
Ooh.
Stacked nachos supreme. Stacked chips supreme. That looks fucking awesome. Cantina power bowl. A cantina fresco bowl.
Oh yeah, my husband loves those.
And then. We got snackaritos, so you got a crunchy taco, beefy cheesy burrito, and a mini chicken quesadilla.
Yeah.
And cheesy swirl, chocodilla, and churros.
What?
You have fucking churros? Yep. I'm pissed.
Oh my god! Well, we used to have the little crunchy ones.
Yeah, like we got those like cinnamon twisted air.
Yeah. Yeah. We have
they're like fake wannabe churros.
We have caramel apple empanadas, and those are like my new like I could drown a toddler in my pants treat right now. So.
Okay.
We've definitely definitely gotten to
we've gone to the full hour.
Yeah, we've gone the full hour, and we are definitely combating combating diet culture.
When we'll have like a Taco Bell watch every episode now.
Yeah,
I'll
when
tell
it
you
comes
how,
out.
how close it is to the opening.
Breaking news.
And then when it finally does open, I will take my portable recorder and I will do a special from Taco Bell.
You ordering at Taco Bell in Australia for the first time. We make a lot of promises on this show that we don't follow through on.
This one I'm gonna fucking do it.
This one,
as soon as it opens, I'm driving out there.
This is important, okay?
This isn't fucking Taco around. It's Taco Bell. Sponsor us, please.
We don't ask for much. Maybe a free burrito.
A free crunchy wrap.
It's only a dollar.
I want a sound bite of the Chihuahua. You remember the Chihuahua, Claire?
Chihuahua.
I would anyway. Yeah. If you wanna tell us your favorite Taco Bell concoction,
tell us which of their monstrosities you want them to bring back.
You want them to bring back, or what do you get on the secret menu? Do they have a secret menu? Anyway, you can send basically anything. Send us anything to bibicast@gmail.com.
And you can also go to byebyebyecast.tumblr.com and anon or not, however you're happy doing it. Send messages there. That's got links to our Twitter, to our Patreon. All sorts of stuff.
Yeah. And you can find all of us at our respective Twitters. And
yeah, if you're up at weird times at night, because I tend to tweet late at night
globe,
in Australia.
So one of us will
do.
Be awake.
One of us is always awake. One of us is always awake
and we're shitposting our way into your hearts. So
yes, that's right. We're Twitter flirting with you, I promise. We have to do an episode about Twitter flirting as well at some point. We will see you all next week. Please take care. Don't diet. I think it's the thing you can take away from today's episode. And it's no diet day today. Yeah, eat Taco Bell. Cook your own food. Live your best life. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Remember, boys and girls,
don't put it in your mouth.
Hey, what am I doing? I don't even like beets.
Then don't put it in your mouth. Bye-bye, everyone.
I'll do a clap marker, shall I? cough marker. Well, likely.
Yeah.
Cough marker.